You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
I'm Colin Mockery.
And I'm Deb McGrath. For 8 years, we've been going online to choose gifts like chickens and goats for children and families living in poverty. Gifts that provide food, income, and a hopeful future.
All thanks to World Vision's gift catalog. For gifts that change lives,
go to worldvision.ca/gifts.
Hello, hello. You are listening to A Face for Radio. My name is Eric Coates, and I am your host. As per usual, as per always, we are broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM or on CITR.ca. And today's show is it has a bit of a theme. We will be playing the music that will be played is dedicated to or about or thematically linked to John Coltrane. John Coltrane was a saxophonist, probably the, well, one of the most famous people in jazz. And he was born, I believe, in North Carolina. Yeah, he was born in Hamlet, North Carolina in 1926. And died at a young age in 1967. Now, this year is the 50th anniversary of Coltrane's most accomplished album, A Love Supreme. And it's getting, it just got a re-release with some alternate versions and so on, and I had never listened to that album before. I had only listened to Blue Train and a couple others that were on a triple CD for Blue Train, and I will be honest, it took me a while to get in to Mr. John Coltrane. He's a bit... I think with bebop in general, I struggle to be hugely into it because it's a bit of a virtuoso style of music. You know, it's just you need to be like a little too good, and sometimes that takes away from, well, at least for me, enjoying it. But after I listened to that album about 20 times, I realized how good it was. It just took me a while to get into it. But this album, A Love Supreme, now that album didn't take me any time at all. I listened to it for the first time on Monday, and it was mind-blowing. So we're going to play, first off, the closer from that album, the song Psalm. It's a very spiritual album, and this is the closer. Then we're going to follow it up with the song Something About John Coltrane by his wife, Alice Coltrane, featuring Pharoah Sanders from her album Journey in Satchidananda. That's a pretty wild album. John Coltrane was a pretty out there guy. He was enamored with the fantasy, the mythology around Charlie Bird Parker and, you know, the great sax player who was also a horrible heroin addict. So Coltrane starting doing the smack until 1957, when he had a revelation from God, and he cleaned up his act, stopped doing drinking, drugs, and focused solely on music. Apparently, that was all he'd do. Like, he would talk to people, he'd play music, and then he'd spend just 6 hours, 8 hours a day playing the sax. And his wife, his second wife, Alice Coltrane, was a similarly spiritual person. They're both very interested in, religions and of all different sorts, really. I think I read a quote where John Coltrane said that he was of no particular religion, but of all religions. And I think the same could be said for Alice. And apparently she also had an encounter with, she had a vision where she met God. She's a organist, pianist. And he and God showed her this giant organ and taught her to play all these heavenly notes and songs and things that he had only shown to two other people before her, J.S. Bach and someone else. I don't know who the other person is. So after that meeting, I believe this album came out after that meeting, so you're going to be treated to some heavenly stuff. And then we're going to finish off the set with a song by Flying Lotus, who is John Coltrane and Alice Coltrane's grandnephew. He's their grandnephew. So one of his grandparents was a brother or sister to Alice Coltrane. So we're going to start it all off with the closer to Love Supreme, to one of the supreme musicians of the great American genre of jazz music.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello. We are back with A Face for Radio on CITR 101.9. My name is Eric, and I am joined here by my good friend, fellow student executive member, and band member, former soccer teammate, and fellow CITR host of a show, host of Shine On, Miss Shay K. McConkey.
Thank you for that very, very wonderful intro, my friend.
You're welcome.
It's very kind.
You deserve it.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, so just for the listeners, before we get to chatting with Shay, we're playing here a set dedicated to the late, great John Coltrane. And we kicked it off with the song Psalm off of his album A Love Supreme, released in 1965, turning 50 this year. Got a re-release.
It's a big one.
Yeah, I love on the first song of that album, that at the end he sings, but he doesn't sing, he just goes, A Love Supreme, A Love Supreme, A Love Supreme. And I feel like it is really weird that no one has...
Is it acapella? It's just him singing?
No, there's like instrumentals.
Cool.
But it sounds... He sounds like that.
Yeah.
It's like this deep voice. And I feel like it should have been sampled by now. Like that would be so cool in the middle of a song.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm thinking we can do that.
Let's do it.
We can start mixing with samples.
That would be great. That would be really, really innovative, right?
I think so. It's the future.
It's the future.
And then after that, we played Alice Coltrane with the song Something About John Coltrane from her album Journey in Satchidananda, that features Pharoah Sanders, who, according to Ornette Coleman, was probably the best tenor player in the world.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then we finish it all off with Jung and Alice's grandnephew, Stephen Ellison, also better known as Fly Low or Flying Lotus, along with his friend and collaborator, Thundercat.
Oh.
I can't remember Thundercat's last name.
Or his
real name.
Yeah. Wait, Thundercat's not his real name.
I shouldn't have said that. Now, Steven Brunner is his real name.
Yeah, he's super talented.
Yeah, I like how they call him in every interview I've read about him or thing about his music. Whenever he's referenced, it's Thundercat, bassist extraordinaire. They never go, good bassist, bassist virtuoso. Bass player. It's always bassist extraordinaire.
Fair enough, though, to be honest.
No, he's tight. You play the bass,
tight.
Shay.
I play bass, yeah.
So you do
not
you like...
Not quite like Thundercat.
Yeah, but you...
But I'm getting there.
You're getting to bassist extraordinaire level?
That's the goal.
Okay. What'd you say you're at now? Like,
bassist satisfactory.
Oh, that's pretty good. You should... If you go solo...
That's
should
gonna
be
my like
your project name.
I like it. I like project too because it's like who knows what that could be.
Exactly.
Genre-wise.
You could be a visual artist who just performs music part time.
Just contemporary art.
Yeah, I mean, we've broken down the barriers.
Yeah, we have. It's all freedom from here.
From here on out,
dude.
Mm-hmm. So Shay. You host Shine On. When's that? Let's plug your show.
Thank you. That's awesome. Yes, I have a show called Shine On every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on CITR. And it is a music show where I choose a different theme each week and play music that coincides and kind of chat about the topic a little bit. Definitely spans from...
Like, what are some recent themes?
Right. So recently I did a Shindig showcase. So
nice.
Because it is Shindig time here at CITR, which is our annual Battle of the Bands, of course, which mm-hmm. Eric and I actually played in this year.
We did as our band.
Critics.
Critics. And we played, what day was it? November 4th?
Yes.
I believe almost a month ago now.
Yeah.
Wow, time flies.
Yeah, it's been a weird month since then, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great
time,
though.
It was a good
night. That was fun.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was fun. We didn't win.
No, we played with Winona Ryder. Sorry. Oh, Winona Forever.
Actually, I've been meaning to send this to you, Shay.
And who was the other band? I forget. But Winona Forever won that night, and they were really, really great. Very fun to watch, so happy for them.
Yeah, me too. I just want to show... is it okay if I... We got back our results. Like our judgments.
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay with me? Yeah. I've been meaning to send them to you.
This is interesting. I'm excited.
Critics. That's our band.
Which is like probably you, not going to be a critics.
No,
for
it's probably
long, but
next show we'll change it.
Yeah.
We average like a new name every show.
Yeah.
Critics, you are good at nice jangly guitar tone.
Nice, good job.
The groovier, more 60s feel songs.
Oh, yeah.
Being charming and likable. I mean, if anyone's listening to this right now, that one's obvious. Good.
That's all you, buddy.
Oh, no. No chance. You are, it's actually, okay, listenership, this is friends, family, people. It's actually ridiculous how much more popular Shay is than anyone else in the band. Every show we played, we do introductions and Shay gets like 10 times the applause. I mean, it's understandable because she is the cool one.
No.
Just let me speak. Okay. And she, I mean, I swear, like after every show, I'll talk to someone and I'll be like, hey, what'd you think of the show? And they'll be like, oh man, it was great. Like, especially when Shay sung. And then I'll be like, yeah, totally.
It's because it's a more rare occurrence, so it's just more
special.
Exciting for people, I think.
Well,
can
I just say what the judges said here?
Of course.
Love the songs the bass player sings, especially the fast one about halfway through. Even the judges see it.
That's awesome.
No, I think it's great.
That's cool.
I mean, I am...
I feel awkward, but that's cool.
You deserve it, though.
Thanks.
You give off a good vibe. You know, it's understandable why the people love you. So,
What a best friend I have here. So wonderful.
Gracious. Anyways, they also said, good at your instruments and engaging with the audience. And bringing lots of friends out. That one to me is the funniest.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I know
that's true. I'm sure they were really like happy about all those people.
The judges, it's funny how the judges answer things because they just write it on a little sheet, like what they liked and what they didn't like. Right. And then someone at CITR puts it all together and like transforms whatever the judges wrote into like real commentary. Because sometimes it's just like, didn't like the guy's shoes. And they're just like, would have been better without the string. And it's like, what are you saying? You know, you have to. So I'm sure someone just said, like, I wonder who wrote that. Like, who was the guy that was just like, yeah, bring in lots of friends out. That's important for a band.
Because that has nothing to do with a musical talent or like,
I know.
A performance.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that sounds like it would have been just like someone who is closely affiliated with CITR who was stoked that.
Yeah.
More people came to support it.
Okay, now you could work on.
Okay.
Here's the criticisms.
Oh, criticism.
Yeah. Band member introduction and the comedic preamble were corny and unnecessary. two blues brothers. I mean, that's fair. I feel like that's a judge's opinion, and my opinion is that I disagree with them.
I agree with you. I disagree with them.
Like, it's cool. I mean, I get it that, you know, they probably are, like, really into...
Dude, it was a jazz, like, intro. How can they not enjoy that? Maybe it's because
we didn't
do it very well. Oh, no, sorry, it wasn't jazz, it was blues.
We did it pretty well.
I thought it was okay.
I
thought the idea is
whatever. There's room for improvement.
There's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
Criticism is good. Okay, continue.
Mm. Okay. Practice playing your set all together to avoid long breaks and apologies killing the vibe during a show. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. We started playing with our setup, the people that we played with. We started jamming in September.
It was probably closer to October.
Yeah, it was closer to October. We were playing with a new drummer temporarily. So we played for about a month, I think. We put that set together.
And that was mostly with me, you, and Nick, who's the drummer.
Yeah, exactly. Our guitar player was
jammed with us for a week.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was pretty proud of us considering.
Yeah, no, me too.
And we wrote songs and stuff in that time.
Yeah, four out of the seven songs were new songs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say more because there's the intro. There's really five out of eight songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a ton of new material. And also just, we just didn't have that much time given the date that we had for Shindig.
Yeah.
So
I remember writing in and I was like, please give us the later dates.
Give us the last date.
But that's okay.
That's okay. No, I thought, I'm super proud of us. And yeah. It was super fun.
And that is a fair criticism.
Yeah, you know? It is. And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Then keeping in tune and in time with each other, listening to each other. Mm. I think this one goes to me because my guitar went way out of tune in one song. I didn't know what to do and I freaked out. I think listening to each other is something that we can improve on.
Yeah.
I feel like every
playing
band needs
each
to.
Other.
Yeah. That's
always
hard.
What people are looking for, right?
That takes a long time.
That takes chemistry.
Yeah, we have pretty good chemistry,
Science.
Though. Science. We just need to go into the lab.
Yeah.
Now this one, I think this one is the second funniest criticism. More vocal harmonies. That's such a random point. We didn't have vocal. It's just
we didn't have any though.
I feel like no. I know.
That's so why would they be more?
I know. That's what I find hilarious because they could have just been
maybe that's not our thing.
No, I know, but it's you go to a punk band and it's just I feel like you should just have more a bit more of a 60s feel, a little bit more psychedelic, just
totally, because it's completely different than
I agree you should have more vocal harmonies,
but the context
is bizarre. Who is just they're listening to it, they're these guys could use some vocal harmonies. I don't know, whatever.
Fair, though. We should
Fair.
Work on it.
I agree.
Want to.
It's kind of, yeah.
I don't know how, but we'll work on it.
Well, it's tough because we only have one microphone in a studio, jam space. It's five.
A quarter of this room or something.
Yeah, it's 1 meter by 2 meters. It's a closet.
Yeah, man.
Kind of sloppy.
Okay.
That's fair.
Well, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be our new name.
Kind of sloppy? That's kind of gross.
Gross. Take it back.
Keep it simple. This one's also funny because our music's pretty simple. It's not like we're playing the music that's been played on this show.
Yeah, no, totally. It's a little bit.
And then this one's also, I think, to me, practice your falsetto. It's gonna be great. Which
Wait,
is fair.
Was
I think
thumbs
I should.
Up part of it, or
as an exclamation point.
Okay, that's.
I feel
essentially
like,
the same mm-hmm. thing.
And then other comments. Reminds me of Pavement or Silver Jews. Nice.
Was the nice part of it?
Yeah, it's ... nice.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
Being compared to Pavement's pretty nice. Yeah. They're a pretty good band.
Yeah. Another friend, I told you this, Eric. One of my friends that came to see us that night told me after that we reminded him of the Pixies.
Which is also great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
It might just be because of the female bassist thing, but I think it was also somewhat to do with the sound, which is cool.
Yeah. I hope that's not the reason. She's like, oh, you have a woman on the bass. Okay. Pixies.
I'm sure that
Sonic Youth.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those.
That's how you can compare yourself to people, right?
Yeah, well, if we're going by that comparison, yeah, exactly. I just, like, who is an incredibly handsome lead singer?
Oh, there's many.
Yeah, but, like
incredibly, incredibly handsome?
Like, if you're just going to...
What about, like, Dave Grohl?
Like, he's, yeah, he's handsome.
Yeah.
But...
You're talking about, like, more refined handsome?
Yeah. Yeah, like... Yeah, you know, if they're like, you sound like Duran Duran because your singer is pretty boy handsome, like Simon Le Bon, I'd be like, fine, even if we sound nothing like Duran Duran, because I don't really want to sound like them. But see, if we're going by that comparison, yeah, exactly. Like, I would like to be compared to a band that has a handsome lead singer.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I have a face for radio, but I mean, come on. All right, Shay.
All right.
We're going to have to cut it here so that this show ends at an appropriate time. I actually had another interview planned for this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but we're just not going to play it.
Yeah, well.
I can just play it later.
Yeah, exactly. Content is content, man.
Content's content. So we're going to listen to a couple ads, and then we're going to close it off. We're just going to end it right out with two songs. The first song is The Magnificent Seven by Kamasi Washington. He is on Flying Lotus's label, Brain Feeder.
Great.
Part of the Los Angeles scene that really is mixing a bunch of genres, you know, like jazz, hip hop, and electronic music primarily. He is super cool. This guy who released a triple CD that's all like 3 hours long, or triple album this year, called The Epic. And this is one of the songs on it. He shreds the sax.
3 hours long?
Yeah, I've listened to the whole thing, but it took me like a month.
Oh, I want to listen to it.
Yeah, it's super cool. And he is most definitely inspired by John Coltrane. Mm-hmm. And then we're finishing it off with a touch of local, Mr. Sam Davidson, better known as Skim Milk, who's got a new album out called Ghosts of Jazz. And the song is Before and After that we'll be playing. He is a clarinetist. So Kamasi Washington and then some Skim Milk for a balanced diet. But before then, we're going to play some ads. Thank you, Shay, for coming out.
Thanks for having me on.
Up next after this is Transition State. I hope you enjoyed the show. And, you know, that's all for now. This has been A Face for Radio on CITR 101.9 on your FM dial, Canadian Independent Thunderbird Radio.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
Hi there. Are you tired of listening to the same music day in and day out and want to try something a little different? Well then, how about listening to Asian music? Now, I don't mean it like...
Open Gangnam Style!
Nor like...
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
I'm talking about a little more like... And a little more like... And also a little more like... And definitely something like... So tune in to Asian Wave 101, playing you the best of Chinese and Korean pop, Wednesdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m.
I'm going to have to switch songs partway through The Magnificent Seven because it's 12 minutes long and I want to play some Skim Milk. So I apologize for that. But if you want to check out more of this, listen to Kamasi Washington's album, The Epic. And now we're transitioning over to Skim Milk. And that'll be the rest. That's it for our show. Thank you.